Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says everything that goes bump in a night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-finally cape-wearing again, the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Yes, back here, another episode of Bob After Dark. Heather, I see chiming in already. The YouTube. Hi, Bob and Count. So hi back to Heather. But yeah, you mentioned it, the cape wearing. You know what?
We were ready to drop $80 on a new cape.
Well, I wasn't. But you know what? We have a Bob After Dark fund.
We would have gotten
that we tap into. It's a big fund, right? I mean,
it's a fund.
It's a fund. So
we would have gotten you a new cape.
We tap into
we
that.
Didn't need to get to that.
And the one you showed me was very nice. It had a black and purple lining. Yeah,
it was gorgeous. But your cape is iconic.
Iconic from Toys R Us, I think it's from. But
Toys R Us.
I don't know where it's from. But you know what? We have this. I had this cape since almost the beginning of the show here now. And for weeks, the cape has went missing. As people know, we are back into the new old studio.
Yes.
And things got shuffled around. The cape that I knew was in the other room was in a drawer. The drawer went missing, therefore the cape went missing. Now I'm going to tell you how this went down. Last week, Luke Miller, who was on the show with us last month with Chuck Pullen.
Yeah.
You know, we help out a show called Of Notoriety here, and he was sniffing around the studio, and he found a note back there in this room behind me, if you're watching on the YouTube. And basically, he saw there was a note saying, hey, stuff has been moved to a corner room, which is about the next room over. So deep into this building, there's another room. There's lots of rooms in this building. And I went in there, and there was a drawer that looked like the drawer that had the cape in it, all the way on the top shelf. So I climbed up to the top shelf, opened the drawer, and what was in there, Bob? The cape.
The cape.
So the mystery is solved.
The mystery is solved. The cape is back home. Bob After Dark has been, we have found our balance again.
There's balance again.
Yes. All right, if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we're your weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite plant to see during springtime.
Wow, maybe like a lilac?
That's a good answer.
That's a good spring thing, right? Lilac?
I think it's a summer thing.
Isn't that, what's the Easter? Is that lilacs at Easter?
That's Easter lilies, pal.
Oh, lilies. I'm thinking of that. Well, I like a lilac, too, but
dangerous
a lily.
Dangerous cats, by the way.
Which
Easter,
is that?
Easter lilies.
Also poinsettias, right?
Yeah.
So never have plants in your house or flowers in your house.
No, just my rule of thumb. If you got cats, just catnip plants, call it a day.
Yeah. How about yours? Is that a favorite springtime?
I don't know, man. Anything.
Petunia?
Sure. Venus flytrap because it eats mosquitoes.
Okay. I think it's more helpful in the summertime when they come out, but we'll include it for the spring.
Absolutely. All right, Count, we got to get your weekend update. I didn't see you last week. I had a last-minute conference in Florida, which was a completely rewarding experience that I wasn't expecting to be at.
Yeah.
So I'll talk a little bit about that, but let's get your weekend update. I haven't seen you in a week. What'd you do?
Well, I know it'll make this will make Steve Michaels proud. You know, Steve Michael, who sits in here with you from time to time. By the way, I was getting asked about that. Did Steve win his match in Hawaii? Which he did.
He did by disqualification.
But he won.
He did win.
That's a win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't. Don't. Why are you starting trouble?
I'm not starting trouble.
By disqualification.
He still won. I'm just explaining how it went down.
Well, but that counts.
Steve still has his title.
Yes. But I took in some wrestling here over. Of course, it was a WrestleMania weekend. So
yeah.
That's about 8 to 10 hours of wrestling right there, Saturday and Sunday. And then I ventured out to Griffith, Indiana, to watch a great local indie organization.
Backbreaker?
Backbreaker Pro Wrestling. Yeah. And I go to a lot of these ARW Pro shows that are here run by...
support your local indie wrestling, folks.
Shout out to Dave Innes, who co-hosts Region Bandstand here Saturdays with Gino from 10 to noon. He's also referee for ARW, but he was in attendance for this Backbreaker Pro Wrestling that took place in Griffith, Indiana. So you had about, 9 hours of WrestleMania altogether. You had a couple hours of local indie wrestling altogether. Bob, I'm tapping out. I'm tapping it right now. But it was a good wrestling weekend, Bob.
That's good. I'm glad to hear you had a good wrestling weekend. Last week I was in... I was at a Children's Miracle Network hospital event.
That's right.
At Disney World at the Dolphin Resort.
I saw that.
And it was really rewarding, man. Guys don't know, I raise money all year round for Children's Miracle Network Hospital via the Extra Life program. That's like our charity here at Bob After Dark. I do my big gaming marathon and after Thanksgiving, the whole nine for them. So I got invited out to kind of see how the network works, and I got to meet some of the patient champions, and it was just a very rewarding experience, and good to be in Florida, but I was happy to be back. I'm still playing catch up on my sleep from that. So that was my time, and now that we're back here, we have some pretty cool news. We have a guest booked from now every week until the first week of June, which is baffling to me.
Hey, we got a lot of stuff going on. But one more point about Florida. Did you enjoy your Florida?
I doubt
the Sunshine State.
Yes, I did. I did.
You got a tan. You look a little tan.
No, I got a sunburn. Wow. Just my left arm, though. I just got sunburned. Speaking of guests, Count, we have a guest this week.
Yeah, so let me pull this up. And, of course, the phone lines are always open. The number, Bob, is 219-845-1100. Again, the number is 219-845-1100. If you're listening to some live time, I will take your calls. And I'm also monitoring the YouTube as well if you have a question on there. But yes, I'm going to perform this and see if we get it working. And Bob, I'll let you take it away here.
All right. Joining us this week is paranormal investigator, cryptozoologist, and convention runner Barnaby Jones. No, I did not make that name up. That is the legitimate name. Because trust me, when I said who my guest was, my mother's like the TV star. No, Mom, I trust you. This is his name. Long time coming, guys. We've talked about having him on for literally years, and it finally lined up. Welcome Barnaby Jones to the Bob After Dark Verse. Oh, hey there, Barnaby.
Hey, Bob, how's it going? Glad to be here. Glad to finally be here.
Glad to finally be here. I know we've only been discussing it for a while. It's good to have you. Now, let's get it out of the way. Your name is not fake.
No, it is not. I am named after the television show. I know every bit of Buddy Ebsen trivia there is out there, but that is my real name. Yeah.
I was going to say, how many people, did you ever check how many people are actually named Barnaby?
There's some people. I have never met another Barnaby, though.
No.
I've looked. Worked at a company, a very large company, that actually there was another Barnaby on their roster. But I never got a chance to meet him, so I've never met another Barnaby.
Mm. That's uniqueness out the door there, Count.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Barnaby, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you landed in the world of the paranormal.
Sure. So I've always been interested in cryptozoology and paranormal research, anything weird from Bermuda Triangle to these, you know, locations of high strangeness around the world. And I've always mostly been interested in cryptids, everything back to elementary school, you know, when the whole chupacabra flap was going on. I was very interested in that. But like a lot of people, I always thought that, you know, Bigfoot was out in the Pacific Northwest and these Yetis were overseas somewhere, and it was never around my area. So I focused a lot on paranormal research, going to cemeteries, haunted locations, things like that, going up through high school. And eventually I ended up owning a Halloween haunted attraction in a haunted location. And I had numerous paranormal experiences there. In 2019, I got to go up to a property in Upper Michigan called the Hayden Adventure, where in 2012, there was a series of three game camera photos. The middle one showed what a lot of people believe was a Bigfoot. The property owners, Craig and Barb Salk, sent these photos up to Finding Hayden or Finding Bigfoot TV show, which came out and investigated the property, and everyone wanted to see and, you know, see where the evidence happened, hear and experience all the stuff. So they opened it up as a kind of a tourist spot where people could come see the evidence and learn for themselves. And myself and Ma, who you've met as well on my team, went up there and did some investigating and found out that these things are right here in our own backyard, you know, in Wisconsin, Upper Michigan and that. And we learned of this property in southern Wisconsin called the Burlington Vortex. And myself and a friend went down there to investigate this and had our first Bigfoot encounter. And the next couple weeks later, we got a whole team together that went back and started researching this area. And that's how Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society was formed.
Very exciting.
You know what? I'm also seeing the chats here as well. First, shout out to Stephanie Smith. She's listening on her AM radio in the car. She's driving back.
Yeah.
That's the classic way to do it.
That is the classic way of listening to Bob After Dark, listening in on your car.
South Shore Steph tuning in to the show on AM radio, which is the best way, I think. Heather says, great name. Barnaby Jones, great name. Leigh Warner says, hello, Barnaby. Showed up for your friend, PWC. And Missy says, hi, Bob, Barnaby, and Count Panic. So nice
hello,
little shout-out.
We are paying attention to the chat.
We are paying attention.
So got to ask you, cryptozoology has many definitions, or I guess it has one standard definition, but what does it mean to you?
So cryptozoology is the study of hidden animals. This could be anything from creatures that have been discovered by science but are thought to be extinct and may still be around. This could be anything from like the coelacanth, which is the poster child for cryptozoology, a giant blue fish. Otherwise, like things like the thylacine or Tasmanian tiger that have currently gone extinct but could still be existing. It also encompasses things like animals that are where they shouldn't be. And this includes things like large black cats showing up around the world, like England and North America, where we don't have any large species of black cats, or other animals that shouldn't be where they are. And also, of course, the creatures that we do not know actually exist, things like Bigfoot or sea monsters or the chupacabra.
What's your take on cryptids with metaphysical properties?
I think that, in general, there's a lot of things that the human race can do, right? We have mediums, we have psychic abilities, we have remote viewers, telekinesis, all these abilities that supposedly we have access to. So why are we saying that these creatures that we don't know anything about, we haven't studied, why couldn't they also have these abilities? So, you know, there's a lot of animals out there, like take the platypus, for example, these very weird, bizarre creatures that every time that we study them, we're learning more and more about them. And I think that there's a lot to the animal world that we already know, that the species that we already know, there's a lot more to them that we're going to be finding out and doing the research. We just need the funding to specify down into those areas.
What is your favorite cryptid to study?
Oh, man, I got to go with the chupacabra. Like I said, I grew up right in the 90s when that thing was hitting all the news waves and everything. And right when the internet was first coming out, that all these, you know, newspaper articles, television shows and stuff were covering it. And it was like the cryptid of my childhood right there. So but it goes back all the way. John Keel, the infamous author and stuff of the Mothman Chronicles and everything. He wrote about these things, the sightings of them back in the 1800s over in Europe and England. But of course, they weren't called El Chupacabra then. They were just called these vampiric attacks. But they were very similar to the MOs of the Chupacabra, where you'd have a group of animals, chickens or sheep or what have you, and they were killed with puncture wounds and completely drained of blood. Now, this is the exact same MO that was reported in Puerto Rico and Mexico of these Chupacabra creatures. So it stands to reason that these things have been around a lot longer than the actual name implies.
Very interesting. Count, you got something to add
to
that?
Yeah, the Chupacabra, Bob. Did we ever do
We did a Chupacabra okay. episode.
You know, Barnaby, we've been doing this for a long time. I got to go back
According
in the database.
According to Cow Panic, we've been doing it for 20 years.
We've been doing it for 20 years,
We've been
Barnaby.
Doing it for 20 years, at least 30 seasons.
30 seasons, Bob. It's a lot. We'll figure it out.
Now, you know, the Chupacabra that always stands out to me is the Unsolved Mysteries episode. You ever see that segment, Barnaby?
I don't think I have that one.
Oh, no. My goodness. So Unsolved Mysteries was like my introduction to the paranormal, cryptozoology in general, because they always, you know, you'd get lucky enough during the true crime reenactments, but they would do, you know, they would cover the unexplained. I remember the one episode they showed with the Chupacabra, and artist depiction had this long spike tongue that came out. And I remember being so terrified of that thing. And it's funny that you mentioned that the Chupacabra is your favorite now in 2026, because I remember when that thing was terrifying me back in like 1996.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a cool creature. And there's so much misinformation, you know, as you know, online and that. And, you know, with the Chupacabra, it's really evolved down in Puerto Rico and Mexico and stuff. And instead of just being this cryptid that, you know, drains the blood of animals, this vampiric creature, that it's gone above and beyond that to the point where anything that goes bump in the night, any kind of, you know, paranormal activity, anything like that is considered El Chupacabra. It's just become their regional boogeyman creature. So it's taken on this whole life of its own. So a lot of the stories and reports and stuff that you get are, you know, kind of, you got to take them with a grain of salt these days. And now over in Puerto Rico, there's all these sightings recently of what people are calling gargoyles, these stone-like creatures with wings that people are seeing. And again, you know, talking about the MO of these creatures and what people are seeing and describing, you have to wonder, excuse me, if these gargoyles maybe are the Chupacabra, and, you know, the namesake and has kind of evolved that now, instead of saying, oh, this is a Chupacabra, they're looking at these same creatures and going, maybe this is a gargoyle now. So the name has evolved, but you're still talking about the same creature. And this is another reason why it's so hard to track down sighting reports and get a good idea of what's going on.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't gotten a chance to go down there and research it. I've talked to a lot of people that have. Obviously, Ken Gerhardt has done a lot of work on these creatures, and I've gotten a chance to talk and work with him, and he believes that these things are these, you know, Texas blue dogs, which, you know, the Phyllis Canyon, Cuero, Texas, she got these, the first one that she shot and killed on her property, and then she found the other one dead in the road, and she had it taxidermied. But this is a completely different species. We've seen this Texas blue dog, which is a coyote and a Mexican wolf hybrid. We've gotten the DNA on it. There's the taxidermied version of it. And then I've seen actual videos of these things all the way up into Mississippi. So there's a breeding population of these blue dogs now, but it's a brand new species. And that's what cryptozoology is. But I do not think that these things are what the Chupacabra is, because any kind of breeding population, you know, it's been described that these things may have mange. Well, if they have mange, they're going to have this disease that makes them look hairless. But not every animal in the species is going to have that. Only certain ones, right? You're going to have hair-covered ones, and you're going to have the mange ones. But we're seeing this entire species of these things looks the same. So Why would this animal that is a predator, a canine species, kill a creature and not consume the flesh, right? It needs the protein, it needs the food. Why would it just leave it with the blood drained? It doesn't make sense for the Texas blue dogs to be fitting the MO of what people were describing for the original initial Chupacabra attack. So I don't think that this is the same animal. What it is, I don't know. I mean, there's so many hypotheses from, you know, government test subject animals to aliens or, you know, but like I said, with John Keel writing about them all the way back to the 1800s over in Europe, it's not something that just, you know, showed up out of nowhere. We've had these same creature attacks for decades. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
Count, you got something there? You look like you're right.
I mean, a lot of times we don't know what to make of anything, Bob. Wow. And that's the most of the, really, the mysteries of life. We can't figure it out. But the Chupacabra, I'm going to have to go back. I didn't see that episode. I'm going to have to go back and watch our episode again. Or
do you not remember our episode?
Bob, how many episodes have we done?
213.
It's more like 517, I think.
Did you stop?
I'm just saying, Bob, we've done a lot.
You always add numbers.
We've done a lot of episodes, Bob.
214 in podcast.
214 in podcast, okay.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Not the other ones that we did besides.
I mean, they matter, but it's not like we have an archive of them.
No, well, of course not.
They got deleted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got.
Thank God that Johnny Appleseed episode will never see the light of day.
Wiped out. Yeah.
Gone forever. So, Barnaby, let's talk a little bit about other cryptids you're into. So, Chupacabra being your number one, which is a really unique, interesting choice. I'm a fan myself. That one, like I said, because of Unsolved Mysteries, that gave me an underlining fear of it. But what are some of your other favorite cryptids?
I really like them all. I mean, you know, I've had like this lifelong interest in them. So there's so many. I've really gotten into the flying dinosaur cryptids and stuff. I've heard a lot of reports of them all the way from Pennsylvania to out in Arizona, New Mexico and stuff. So anytime that you get a chance to hear stories about those, a lot of your Papua New Guinea stuff. I mean, your Philippines. There's so many weird cryptids and stuff coming out of there, and it's like a whole nother ecosystem. When you look at the world of animal life, you always talk about the Australia being these weird and exotic creatures that are found nowhere else in the world. And when you look at places like the Philippines and Papua New Guinea and stuff, you have the same thing with cryptids. You have this unique group of just weird stuff and folklore and mythology coming out of there that those guys have always kind of interested in me. But my main research has pretty much been Bigfoot because yeah. Out of all the creatures, you know, we have, according to our local author and research folklorist, Chad Lewis, here in Wisconsin, there's over some like 50-some lakes just in Wisconsin that have supposed lake monsters in them. But with our group, we want to focus on doing the best quality research we can. And right now we have thermal drones and, you know, thermal imaging equipment and night vision and all that stuff for Bigfooting, but we don't have any of like the underwater sonar or any of that stuff to go look for lake monsters. So we've kind of not been avoiding it, but if we're going to do it, we want to do it 100%, right? Absolutely. So we've been focusing on the woods and following up on Bigfoot sightings and stuff. And we've been very fortunate to be on the scene within a couple days of some hunters that have had some experiences and got to go out to those locations and just get boots on the ground right after these happen to look for evidence and to kind of track down these things. So.
Sounds good. We have our first caller of the night, Barnaby. So, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Bob.
Hey, John's on the horn. How's it going, John?
Hey, pretty good. How about you guys?
Not too bad. What's on your mind tonight, John?
Hey, Barnaby, I have to chuckle when I say that. So when you're asked to give your name and stuff, do you get a double take from people and say, "Hey, come on, you know, are you for real? Is this a joke, or is your name really Barnaby Jones?"
After a certain age of any person, they get that reference. Otherwise, the younger people.
Could he hear me, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Wait, can you not hear him?
I can hear. Oh, can you not hear him?
No, I can hear the. I don't know if he heard the question because I can't hear no response.
Oh, okay. Man, we had that same problem last time.
Yeah, I don't.
Long story short, Barnaby was saying that depends on the age of the person. The younger crowd don't get it as much, but the older crowd definitely will do a double take.
Yeah, well, it is a catchy name, but you know, again, I don't know if you could hear me, but
he could hear you. It's just, it seems like you can't hear him.
Okay. So, you know, obviously, you know, Bob, that me and my wife are mainly my wife are big, Bigfoot fans. So, yeah. I like to ask Barnaby, what did he ever have, an encounter with a Bigfoot sighting, and you know, we've obviously heard various, not only some of the guests you had on your show, but you know, throughout media, you know, Bigfoot sightings and what their take of the creature was. So, do you have any comment on that, Barnaby? As far as did you ever have?
Well, should we do this?
Any Bigfoot sightings yourself, or give me your take on Bigfoot in general?
Before you answer, Barnaby, since John can't hear you, was that the main? Because you could, if you want to hang up and listen to the answer live, you can do that too.
Yeah, I'm going to hang up and listen to the answer. So
Barnaby, you were able to hear the question, though, correct?
He heard it. All right, John.
All right.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay. All right, Bob.
All right. So let me drop the call. And then I dropped the call, so now he's listening on the radio. So, Barnaby, you heard the question. Experiences with Bigfoot out there?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for listening, John. Thanks for calling in. I did hear your question loud and clear. So I've had quite a few experiences with Bigfoot. I have not seen one with my eyes directly. I have seen them a few times on thermal imager. So I mentioned earlier the first encounter that we had. We were sitting in a parking lot. I shined a wooded trail area, and I shined this big spotlight along the tree line, and something was looking out at us from the tree line, and it was like holding down a branch. And as the light hit it, it dropped the branch. The branch shot up, and it ducked back into the woods. So we went. I didn't see anything that day other than the branch moving. But the next day, the next time we went down to that same area, we found footprints where that branch had moved. And we had a bunch of experiences, from whistles back and forth, a large branch ripped off a tree. And we actually got on picture of thermal of one of these creatures walking down the back of a hillside, and another one that was standing behind a tree. And that was the first time that I've had like a Bigfoot encounter like that. A couple months after that, we were working on sightings and some howls that were recorded up in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And one of the nights that we were up there, these three creatures were throwing rocks at us across from the Pelican River. And again, not with a visual, but I got on my thermal imager one of the creatures on the other shore, and you could see it on thermal where the arm went back and then forward like an underhand throw. And then you heard the rock splash in the water. And you could see that that was the creature that had thrown it. So we've got them several times on camera. Down in Kentucky, we were doing some research for a paranormal haunted coal mine. And we had just pulled up in the morning, and I was digging through the back of the trunk, getting some camera equipment ready, and my mom actually witnessed one walk across the road where we had just come. And we went over there and found footprints where it had crossed and everything, but that one I didn't see, I didn't experience, but I was literally right there when it happened, and if I would have looked up, probably would have seen it. But so she's actually had two sightings, visual sightings of these things, but I was there both times and didn't see it either one. So I've had quite a few run-ins and some other, like, been growled at by very close, but didn't see anything on thermal or visually, but had it moving around near me, that the ground so heavy that the ground was shaking and you could feel this thing walking, but didn't see it with my eyes or thermal on those occasions. So
Counting got a follow-up to that?
Yeah, I know. Well, the Bigfoot lore is just so, I mean, out of all the cryptids, right, Bob and Barnaby here, I mean, that's like the one we talk about the most, right? So
I would say Bigfoot's the most popular cryptid.
I mean, people always go out looking for him, and they never find him, Barnaby. These shows, Finding Bigfoot, I don't think they ever found a Bigfoot per se. But, you know, that's the fun of the shows, I guess.
I got to ask, Barnaby, have you seen the new documentary, the Disproving Bigfoot one, where you haven't seen it yet?
No, that there's only been a small handful of people that have actually seen that. It's to my knowledge, it was only out at South by Southwest, and they haven't released it anywhere. They're looking for a platform to release it on right now. So,
and John says thanks, by the way, Barnaby. He said that was interesting, so thank you.
Of course, we appreciate that. And John, we always appreciate the questions. You can ask a question to cryptozoologist, paranormal investigator Barnaby yourself, 219-845-1100. Keep the questions clean, as we are an FCC-regulated radio show. So do call in, 219-845-1100.
I think we also got a thing on the YouTube page here. This is your fall, your earlier question, Bob, about your favorite spring flower. Did you say spring flower or flower in general?
So your favorite thing that's flowering, blooming in spring.
In spring. South Shore CVA, which is South Shore stuff, says tulip.
Tulip's a good answer.
Yeah. Tiptoe by the tulips.
No, so I was going to ask your opinion on that. We got a caller.
We got a call too, Bob.
1 second, Barnaby. All right.
Hang in there, Barnaby.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. Well, good evening, gentlemen, Bob and the Count.
Oh, Bill.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. I'm glad you remembered me. That was good.
Of course.
Oh, we always try to remember our regulars on here, Bill.
Hey, I had a question for the Count. I heard Dingus Day was last week. I heard the Count was hanging around Big Frank. Is that true?
I was there supporting Dingus Day, of course. Mr. Pierogi was there as well. But, you know, Dingus Day at Big Frank's Sausage was an amazing time.
I heard Mr. Pierogi was there, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing him at the 4th of July parade there.
Yeah, you know, that's coming up soon. But you know what? I know Stan Stefanski sometimes listens to the show. So a free plug, if anybody's out in the Chicago area, Roxanna, head into Big Frank's Sausage for some good food and drinks.
Well, I'm enjoying the show, and I'm enjoying guest Barnaby. I had a question for him.
Yeah, well, let's try this. Barnaby, say a few words.
Can you hear me all right?
Hey, welcome to the show. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you.
He could hear you. So here's what we'll do, Bill. We'll ask we'll ask the question, then we'll hang up, and then we'll answer it.
Okay, yeah, he mentioned he was a big Buddy Epstein fan, and I am. I like a lot of stuff he's in. I heard in the original Wizard of Oz, he was up for the Tin Man, but the makeup, he couldn't take the makeup or something. Barnaby, is that true?
That is true. Well, you know, we'll hang up. Is that your question there, Bill?
Yes, that's my question.
Okay.
I heard those stories, and you hear a lot of those stories on that movie, but you don't know whether to believe. I think the gentleman, Jack Haley, played it. I'm pretty sure.
I believe so, Bill. Hey, we'll hang up and we'll talk about that, okay?
Okay, listen, you guys have a good show. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Bill.
Appreciate you.
Take care. So I'm dropping on Bill here. Let me just make drop him first. But, yeah, the question was he was up for – and this is true. Barnaby, I don't know if you want to tell the story, but I know this is for a fact true.
Welcome to Bob After Dark, where we talk about all the serious paranormal topics like the Wizard of Oz.
Hey, but, you know, there's some lore about the Wizard of Oz. We should do an episode on that.
You know, the set was apparently haunted. That's our
But wasn't that true? Didn't he get sick off the makeup there, Barnaby?
Yeah, he did. That's why. Yeah, he was supposed to be the original Tin Man, and he couldn't deal with the makeup, so they got somebody else to do it.
It was like poisonous, though, right? Like it was harming his health. And
well, the original silver makeup has like aluminum or something in it, and it just has a bad reaction. So, I mean, they had to use it for coloring. So
there you go.
I bet you weren't expecting that question to come up tonight, Barnaby.
No, but like I said, I've had so many people, you know, like, oh, you know, with my name, they always come up to me, and I know so much like Buddy Epson trivia and that, and so much like Babes in Toyland has a Barnaby or Barnabas Collins from Dark Shadows. And I finally beat them to the punch this time because I found a Barnaby that nobody else has asked me if my name is a reference to. And that's from the Wonder Man TV show, the Marvel show. There's a Barnaby in that, and no one has made a comment yet about that to my name yet. So.
That's fair. So you, I was asking you about the documentary, and we know it hasn't had a home yet, but you haven't seen it. I was curious your take on the premise of it in general, knowing that you haven't seen it, because if that turns out to be true, we're trying to get the producer on the horn for an interview for the show. Haven't heard back yet, but if what they're saying is true. It is a massive shock to the whole cryptozoology scene as a whole. So I'm curious to hear your take on the documentary and if it turns out to be real, as in it was a fake. what the significance behind all of that would be, et cetera, et cetera.
So I haven't seen it. There's been very few people who have seen it, but I do know. Okay, so supposedly, for anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, there's a documentary that's supposed to have a video from 1967 that shows the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot doing a pre-walk, like a test walk across the beach, or, you know, just to test the costume or whatever. Supposedly that was the Patterson-Gimlin footage. And it's supposed to prove that this was a costume and a hoax all to begin with. But here's what I know from people who have done a lot of research into Patterson-Gimlin and Roger Patterson, Bob Gimlin, Bob Hieronymus, all the major players into this. So after the film, the PG film was shot, the supposed real footage, Roger Patterson was making a documentary about filming that. And there was a person in a costume that was part of that reenactment. Now, this is supposed to be possibly what that footage is. So this is the footage from making the documentary. Because also in this supposed documentary that is out now, they show Bob Gimlin, who isn't the real Bob Gimlin. It was an actor stand-in for him, which would put this footage of the supposedly hoax footage after the original footage. So basically what we're saying is that the footage that is supposed to disprove the entire Patterson-Gimlin footage was filmed after it as part of a reenactment for the documentary on how they got the footage. But again, without having seen the footage, without, you know, being able to, you know, see it actually what it is, who can say? So there's a lot of people going back and forth about whether or not it's real, and, you know, that everything now is a hoax and there's no such thing as Bigfoot because the most important piece of footage out there has been proven to be a hoax. Well, it hasn't been proved anything. It's just been speculated. And, you know, until we have more eyes on this and hopefully it gets torn apart as much as the original footage was and, you know, looked at. But as for what it does for the Bigfoot topic, I don't think it should do anything, because with, you know, hundreds of sightings and hundreds of eyewitness reports, footprints, casts, hair samples, all this anomalous DNA, trail camera pictures, all the stuff that's out there from the researchers and witnesses and stuff, why are we basing the entire Bigfoot world on one piece of footage? Yes, it's the most famous. Yes, it's the most talked about piece out there. But if this turns out to be a hoax, what does that do for the entire industry? I mean, we have so much other evidence, so much other stories, and, you know, going back to the indigenous people around the world, there's so much more that came before the Patterson-Gimlin film that should be looked at, and not just this film as the end all be all of Bigfoot research.
I 100% agree, which brings me to my next question is, do you believe that the Patterson-Gimlin film is real?
I have always believed that it was real. I, you know, like I said, I don't put a lot of stock in it just because it doesn't matter. It's a piece of film that, if it's real, great. I mean, it is the standard of what people believe is Bigfoot now. And it's gotten so many eyes on the topic. But whether or not it is real, to me, doesn't really matter. Because, like I said, my mom has seen one in person. I have encountered things in the woods that I believe are Bigfoot, that if this isn't real, I have no way of explaining that. So if this creature doesn't exist, I have no idea what happened to me in the woods, what happened to, you know, my mom, that she saw these things twice, what happened to other members of my team. One of my team members saw one of these things running through the ditch line. So I have encountered so many people, heard so many stories of these things, people who I believe and trust that they have seen these things with their own eyes, that one piece of evidence really isn't going to make or break it for me. But again, like I said, with the amount of research that I've seen and, you know, the credible people that have looked at this footage, you know, the you know, filmmakers and stuff looking at costume design back in the day. I said, I used to own a haunted house attraction. I know a lot of the industry for costume design and makeup and prosthetics and stuff like that. yet. To make the Patterson-Gimlin creature today would even be quite an expensive feat. So you're telling me that these two cowboys out in the middle of rodeo cowboys back in the day had the amount of money it would take to make a realistic costume and pay to have that out there. And if they did, why didn't they do it again? Right. So if you filmed this Patterson-Gimlin footage and you had the costume to do it again with as much people looking at that and as much popularity as it gained, why wouldn't you do an encore? Why wouldn't you have another sighting or, you know, even something similar, you know, less out in the open? You know, they could have made so much more money off of this if it was a hoax and they could have redone it. So why didn't they? That right there tells me, you know, like a lot about if it was a hoax, they could have done more. They didn't. So why are you thinking it was? I don't know. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
No, I literally, yeah. That is probably one of the better arguments I've ever heard for that footage. So I really appreciate that answer.
We got a text question as well. So again, shout out to everybody in the text. Heather, Leigh Warner, Missy, South Shore Steph saying hey once again. But we also got a question here from Elkan Abyss. Elkan Abyss. Evening, guys. It's Nico from Columbus. I've heard some evidence that Bigfoot is able to traverse dimensions. Has Barnaby found evidence to substantiate that? Thanks. Glad to see the cape again. Thank you, Nico. The cape is back. It was found. But Barnaby, how about that question? Bigfoot able to traverse dimensions there?
Thanks for the question.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I don't know how you know, when you talk about have I found evidence, I have found possible evidence of, you know, portals, wormholes, things like that, on numerous properties, just strange things that happen, these window areas. But to tie that directly to Bigfoot, you know, I always say it this way, you know, people tie orbs and portals and all these interdimensional things to Bigfoot. But if you go out in the woods and you're hunting deer and you see a Bigfoot walk by, do you associate Bigfoot with deer? No, you don't. You associate Bigfoot as a Bigfoot. You associate deer hunting with deer hunting. So when you're out in the woods and you're looking for Bigfoot and you see an orb go by, you see a light in the sky, why do you automatically associate the two together? There are so many things out there in the world that we don't understand, that we're still looking into and just happen. So I think that all of these things have a possibility, probability to exist. You know, I've experienced a lot of things out in the woods that, you know, a lot of people would say were fake or didn't happen, but I was there. I witnessed it. You know, you don't have to believe me, but I believe it. And when you experience all these things, you can't necessarily tie them all together because they're all individual things. So do I think that Bigfoot is interdimensional or, you know, goes through portals, extraterrestrial? I mean, it's possible. There's, like I said at the beginning of the show, when you talk about, you know, the paranormal and metaphysical and stuff wrapped into these cryptids, you know, if people can do mediumship or telekinesis or remote viewing, there's no reason why other animals out there can't too. You know, there's so many, you know, new scientific developments and stuff when you look at plants and how they communicate through electronic impulses through their root systems. So plants, trees in a forest all communicate together. Chemical interactions, you know, when a giraffe eats a certain tree in Africa, the plants downwind get a chemical released from these plants to say that it's in distress. And the trees downwind start producing bitter chemicals in their leaves so that they don't get preyed upon too by these animals. So we know that, you know, throughout the animal kingdom, there's a lot of different communication types and ways that we can communicate. So when you think about like the mind speak or, you know, these people that have these interactions with Bigfoot, who's to say that that isn't real? And why does that have to be paranormal or anything? It could just be like, you know, how people communicate with telepathy or mediumship or spirit guides and stuff. If these animals are not putting the pesticides and, you know, the fluoride and whatever have you, all these chemicals into their body like us humans are, they're living a much healthier natural life and, you know, using more of their brain power and you know, more in tune with nature and each other. So why couldn't they have these other, you know, abilities that we don't tap into as much?
Lacey as well on the YouTube. And I know YouTube's a little bit laggy. It kind of skips a little bit compared to AM radio, or if you're listening live on the website. YouTube's a little bit behind. But Lacey Shipley says, hey as well. Hey with four Y's, much like Stephanie's hey with five Y's. So a lot of people are saying hey, long hey's here.
I appreciate you folks. Don't hesitate to ask any questions you might have. We still have 15 minutes left of the show. 219-845-1100. That's 219-845-1100. Barnaby, let's talk a little bit about something that's coming up here soon, and I want to hear your inspiration behind creating it and all of that jazz, too, because we're getting to that point in the show. You have a convention that you run, and I was hoping you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have the second annual Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Convention coming up in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, Saturday, May 9th. Tickets are available now in advance. Tickets are cheaper, so if you get them online. We have over 20 speakers and workshops. So we have two speaker rooms and a workshop room throughout the day. And we've tried to cover every topic from paranormal to metaphysical, Bigfoot, lake monsters. We have a UFO panel. We have workshops on everything from staying safe in the woods, how to communicate with the spirit world, spirit photography, casting, like casting footprints and stuff out in the woods for Bigfoot. We also have a seance and a psychic gallery reading in the evening at these events, as well as over 40 vendors that have everything from local podcasts to art, jewelry, gemstones, cryptids, 3D printed stuff, you name it, t-shirts. We got vendors that have almost anything cryptid, paranormal, or UFO related there. And it kicks off Friday night before the convention. We have two Bigfoot expeditions. We have a daylight one at 5 p.m. for kids. So every kid has to be accompanied by an adult. But we are going to be taking out a short 1 mile hike out in the woods. It's all on groomed trails. So nothing off-road, nothing out in the bush or anything like that. But we're going to be talking about safety in the woods, local Bigfoot sightings, and Bigfoot in general. Myself, Chris McCreary from my team, and Lauren Smith from Night Callers Radio will be leading these. And then in the evening, for the more adventurous, we have a nighttime Bigfoot expedition on that Friday. Myself, Lauren, and Chris will be there, also joined by Larry Eisler, Ken Gerhard, Christina Bloom, and I think I'm missing somebody. But we're going to be going out for that. Tickets are still available for that as well. Again, all on groomed trails, hiking trails. We're going to be going out doing some different things. Christina Bloom is going to be channeling. So she is going to be trying to channel a Bigfoot on this expedition. We're going to be setting up some thermal imagers in a power line cut and trying to monitor that as anything moves around us. But it's going to be a great event. So if you're looking for more information, go to Wisconsin. Spelled out the state, CAPS, Cryptids, Anomalies, Paranormal Society, and click on the link for CapCon, Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Convention.
You know, you have a very handsome speaker speaking this year, Barnaby, about the Chicago Mothman.
I do. Mr. Bob Anderson here, Bob After Dark, is going to be coming up and sharing his knowledge and experience about the Great Lakes Mothman phenomenon.
Yes, and let me tell you, I'm looking forward to that one. I also have a discount code for my tickets. I will have all of that in the show notes below, folks, if you're in the greater Wisconsin area and you want to come hear me speak. I'll have all of my discount code below so you guys can get your tickets early. And I will also be vending, so the my paranormal clothing will be there, Bob After Dark merch will be there, maybe even Count Panic might be there, we don't know.
Who knows, you never know.
You never know, but now Barnaby, for the next couple minutes, I have to ask you, we're going to do what we're calling, brand new with the guest, the lightning round.
There's a lightning round.
The lightning round, that is where I'm going to ask you ridiculous questions about where you live, both paranormally and not.
Good.
So, first question, opinion about the Hodag.
I think that with every piece of folklore, there's a little bit of truth to it. And even though that Eugene Shepherd was the hoaxer of the Hodag, I do think that there is some facts to be found with it, that it may have been sightings of mammoths at the time. So as you know, cryptid-y as it is, it may have a little bit of basis in reality.
Beast of Bray Road.
I hope that I never have to encounter one on a dark, scary road at night, but I have gone looking for them, and I believe that they're out there. We have not found any evidence or footage or anything on our research, but we continue to go to the area and look for them and follow up on sightings.
Now, I know, Barnaby, we've been having some issues here. They could hear – well, wait. You could hear the callers, but they can't hear you, but we do have a caller – on the line here, Bob.
Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Am I on the air right now?
Yes. On the air right now, caller.
This sounds familiar.
Oh, perfect. I'm trying to listen on my other phone, but I, you know, with the lag and stuff. But, no, I had a question, and then I'll hang up so I can hear the answer on the other end. Okay. But, so we're getting married, and we're, me and my fiance, and we want to do a Bigfoot kind of themed wedding, well, wedding shower per se.
A wedding shower.
Just like, yeah, wedding shower. So I'm just curious if there's any ideas or stuff that maybe with I don't know, that you could, you know, give your input on that we could potentially incorporate with it, because we're big Sasquatch people per se. So
did you know this, Bob?
No, I did not. This is fascinating. And I'm sure Barnaby wasn't expecting to be planning a wedding, but I guess we're going to do that.
No pressure.
All right. Well,
thank you so much for calling in.
Stephanie there.
Oh, was that South Shore?
It's Stephanie right here.
Stephanie, thanks for calling in. We appreciate you.
All right. Love you, Bob. Great job.
Thank you. Love you guys, too.
There you go.
All right.
So I'm going to hang up on Stephanie right now.
So, Barnaby, you are planning a wedding. A wedding shower.
A wedding shower. There's a shower that comes before the wedding. I've never been married. But there's a shower that comes for the bride. You know, it's a wedding shower, right? So this is not, say, Barnaby, this is not, say, a wedding itself themed Bigfoot, but a wedding shower. I'll let you take it away if you have any tips or pointers there.
Well, the founder and, lead investigator for Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, Mr. Barnaby Jones, is actually an ordained minister as well and can perform weddings. I'm just throwing that out there.
How about that? He could bring Bigfoot, maybe. I don't know.
But, man, I don't know. I think I'm getting baby shower and wedding shower mixed up, so now I need to rethink this. I would go for like very a woodsy theme, you know, like greens and browns and stuff like that. I was thinking, you know, the whole the poop thing they do at baby showers where they have like the Snickers bars and stuff like that. But I guess that doesn't apply to a wedding
shower. Well, let's see. Well, and again, to clarify here, I got it pulled up. Bridal shower, bride gifts, advice, well wishes before the wedding, usually involving a brunch or appetizers, games, something like Bigfoot-related games.
Pin the tail on the Bigfoot?
Does he have a tail, Bob?
No. Pin the hands on the Bigfoot.
Or pin the foot?
Pin the foot on the Bigfoot. There you go.
Barnaby, would you be up for that?
There you go. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, they don't have tails, so you'd have to pin the track on the Bigfoot.
Oh, now that's a good idea.
It's usually hosted by the bridesmaids or close friends. It features intimate gifts. Any intimate gifts related to Bigfoot? I don't know.
The smacking stick. Everybody gets their own stick to smack the trunk with.
Pinata?
Yeah.
Bigfoot pinatas? There you go.
Maybe like Bigfoot themed appetizers. You mentioned there, Barnaby, something related to Snickers.
Snickers.
That was, I think, Stephanie's other question about Bigfoot. What is waste? But she didn't ask that question.
No, but that's we appreciate asking that. I'm going to tell you what, we might have some time before that wedding plan.
Let's.
We're going to put a pin in that. I'm going to bug Barnaby for the next couple weeks and be like, "Look, man, we really need you to plan this this wedding."
You're in charge of this now, Barnaby.
I hear that. Yeah, it seems like that. I walk into a lot of these situations.
He's now planning a wedding shower.
Okay, so back to the lightning round.
Well, wait, I think I got another text here.
Okay, we got another text question, do we?
It's from John. John is chiming in here to the show. He says, John is chiming in saying all the guests at the shower come dressed as Bigfoot, all dressed at this wedding shower, and he would love to come to the shower. Well, I don't know if, I don't know if he could go to the shower. I mean, maybe the wedding here, but the wedding shower, I think that's kind of an intimate thing. I don't know. But he says everybody that comes to the shower comes dressed as Bigfoot. Now, I think Stephanie should just go across the board with Ray, her fiancé, and just make it a whole Bigfoot theme, maybe.
That'd be pretty fantastic.
The wedding itself,
I think if she's Bigfoot themed, I think all the guests should come dressed as other cryptids because they need to come and pay their respects to the Bigfoot.
We're figuring this out here. So they're dressed as Bigfoot, Big Feet.
The bride and groom are Big Feet.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is different cryptids. I like this.
I like it. And do we got a phone call here? We got a phone call here. So let's try this. Let's take a phone call. I don't know how we got off track here, but we're going to take a phone call.
Call, you're on the air. Why do you keep these people on the phone?
Well, we do accept people that are non-believers, Bob.
Oh, that is fine.
He was a non-believer.
Oh, my word. Sorry, Barnaby.
I would just like to say that I am familiar with the 11 missing scientists. And
there we go. Barnaby knew it.
I was up on this fact, and I knew what he was talking about. So to save you of having the reputation ruined that at least your guest knew about this stuff. But
that there's 11 missing scientists.
Yeah, back to 2002. There's a whole list of them that they've kind of grouped all together, and they all seem to be tied to different government projects. Everything from anti-gravity to the nuclear testing and stuff like that. But yeah, the most recent one was disappeared, and his wife is just kind of like, "I'm not worried about it. So why are you people worried about it?" And it's just a very weird case of missing person going on right now. So, but yeah.
Well, I appreciate the tag in there, and I appreciate you putting up with that, Ira.
No problem. I would also like to say to the point of the fact that there's no evidence. I think if anybody actually dug into this stuff instead of just skimming the surface of these topics, actually looked into and researched this. If you want to talk about like your caller said about the government disappearances and stuff like that, if you looked into the Freedom of Information Act on a lot of these topics, the government has looked into Bigfoot. There is FOIA information you can find that they've done DNA testing on suspected hair and other stuff of Bigfoot. They have done projects into remote viewing. They've actually basically run the remote viewing program that has been declassified. Telekinesis, you look at the stuff like the men who stare at goats. I mean, all of this stuff has science backing to it and is talked about by the United States government and other organizations like the Monroe Institute.
You are connected as the host. Welcome, host.
Oh, wait,
you are now in the host room and can manage your callers from the call-in studio web interface.
Ignore that. It went back to the view console mode, so let's see. We're back. All right.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So, Barnaby, let's finish up lightning round here real quick.
Are we still on the right lightning round?
Farm and Fleet or Fleeman Farm?
Fleet Farm.
Fleet and Farm.
Fleet Farm.
Best place to get cheese curds in the state of Wisconsin?
I like A&W, but there's also Tom's. So those two.
Okay. And then my
I like the deep fried cheese curds. I'll put that out. Not just the cheese curds.
Yeah, I like those too. With some marinara ranch dressing, right?
That's why I had to ask. And the final question is Sprecher's. Is it overrated or is it that good?
It's expensive and I don't buy it. There you go.
It's fair. Barnaby, I really appreciate you coming on this evening. I hope you had a good time chit-chatting with us as much as we had fun chit-chatting with you. This has been a long time coming.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. I thank you so much for the opportunity to come on. I've been looking forward to being on your show, and I definitely look forward to hanging out with you at the convention coming up here in May. And thank you so much for having me and all your wonderful callers and questions that everyone had. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, I always make my guests give a quip, a piece of advice, a joke, a riddle, or something. So you have to leave our audience with that. A quote, a quip, a riddle, a joke, a factoid.
Inspiration.
You do this every week when we have a guest.
I don't do it every week, but they do it every week.
I think that there's more out there than we could possibly know in one lifetime. And I think that if you keep your mind closed or don't look at every situation with an open mind, you're going to miss a lot and you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities in life. If you go out to investigate Bigfoot, you're going to be missing all the other things that happen around you. When you go out on these investigations, whether it be a haunted house or in the woods, go out there to experience whatever comes your way, whether it be UFO, Bigfoot, fairy, orb, paranormal. If you go out there just to experience what these locations have to offer in your daily life or on these investigations, what have you, you're going to have a much better time.
That is a really good quote.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bart. Very inspirational. I appreciate that. Very good. Count, you got any closing words for the audience this evening?
I mean, I just noticed, too, Barnaby's screen on the Zoom. He has a bunch of links to his socials, so all of them, they're right there. Can you see that, Bob, on your screen?
No, I can't. But the show notes will have all the
links you can find. Barnaby, we should get out there, wisconsincaps.com, right?
Yes.
Right. All of our social links are there. Otherwise, on pretty much any social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, you can find us at Wisconsin CAPS.
All right, perfect. And for that, Bob, no really words of wisdom. Just everybody have the good rest of the week. And I, too, enjoy cheese curds.
Yes. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. To my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And it's if no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.